Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 16, verses 23 through 30. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 16. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for today's meditation is recorded in St. John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse, where Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." This is our text. As a preacher of God's Word for well over 33 years, I have learned quickly as a seasoned pastor to not get in the way of the text and let Jesus speak. This is a powerful text. We come together in the shadow of ascension, where Jesus ascended into heaven, promising his soon return. Great, wonderful, and glorious. Late upon this great day, we have prevailing issues the day after ascension. One is a current political climate where the forces of darkness are attempting to curtail, minimize the Christian faith. The second is that in the midst of all this anxiety-invoking troubles, many congregations this weekend are going to acknowledge with thanksgiving to God those that serve and continue to serve in the military. Two non-sequitur events coming at us at the same time. Armed Forces Day is this weekend. As a matter of fact, as soon as I complete here, I am to board an aircraft and to go to the East Coast and proclaim God's word to a congregation there concerning reaching out to veterans. Again, all of this is placed in the context of the ascended Lord and King, the one who promises to send the Holy Spirit along with the promises of his second coming. To the matter of the first issue, religious persecution in our day. Did we really think that we would ever come to what is now being relevant to first century brothers and sisters who faced persecution with violence? We knew this would happen. Jesus said it would happen. There are no better words of comfort than that of Jesus, where he says again, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Now to segue into the second point. Like those in the military, every soldier, sailor, airman, marine, Coast Guardsman and Guardian, yes, the Space Force is up and running, has a mandate. And here it is. Unless told otherwise, you follow the last order given. And so in the case of the church, it is to stand your ground. This is true of any well-trained military force. Even the Roman legionaries did this, and Paul emphasizes and reinforces this command in Ephesians chapter 6 when he refers to soldiers of the front line, where he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." I want to force an issue on you. And it may make you feel somewhat uncomfortable, but nonetheless, it's vitally important to our text this morning. It's illustrated certainly in the second half of our text, where Jesus tells us that he has indeed overcome the world. But it's also what I would call second article of the Apostles' Creed. It is about Christ, how his words this morning strike you. So the question is your Jesus big enough? And this is a fair question. You know Holy Scriptures. You know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised Savior, the King, and the Lord of humanity. But Luther made the following observation about himself when he wrote, "It is, of course, the nature of our flesh and blood to be courageous and cheerful as long as there is no suffering and sorrow. I am, as a proverb puts it, not afraid of 10 when I am alone. But when the weather changes and temptation and trouble come upon us and oppress us, then we've lost the precious promises and the comforting thoughts vanish as if Christ had never spoken any promises or left us no comfort whatever." So consider John chapter 16, while the disciples were in the upper room, just before the high priestly prayer of John 17, we hear Jesus address the disciples. Initially, one might think that the address is somewhat between despair and futility. And then it turns to glory and beauty, triumph and grace. Here's what I mean by despair and futility. John chapter 16, 2 through 4. "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you." So how many of the disciples in that room were thinking, "Man, I didn't sign up for this. I was looking for miracles, wealth, a bread king, prosperity, and certainly not to work hard, but persecution? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to get booted out of the community of faith, death threats, even death itself." And so imagine the futility on the night of Christ's betrayal. Those disciples must have felt so crestfallen. The melancholy must have been overwhelming. Their number one guy, role model, person they looked up to, is soon to be accosted by the thug punk guards from the temple. But here's the good news. Jesus tells us he's already prepositioned not a colleague, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so Jesus said in verses 5 through 11, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, but in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. As Jesus continues, he points to the mission and purpose of the Holy Spirit. He says, I have much more to say to you, but when he, the Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So ends the grief portion of Jesus and the words of John 16. So, is your Jesus big enough? Well, without faith, that faith given by the Holy Spirit, we never fully understand Jesus without it. We stand to commit idolatry by making Jesus into our image. And how many times in my life in ministry I have seen Jesus becoming Jesus the cosmic bellhop, the one that will just come and take care of you and do anything you want, and the minute that doesn't happen, then grief, despair, unbelief. Jesus the fixer of relationships, problems most likely of our own causing. Almost like Jesus is a mafioso goon to put right some things because for some reason you feel that Jesus owes this to you. Jesus, the great cooperator. Lord, if you'll meet me, 33%. How about 8%? And then I will be your child. Jesus, and I have, quote, the many ones of choice, Lord. Jesus, my best buddy. Jesus, the flaw. Jesus, the perfect. He is true man. He is true God. And he came to save us from our sin. And more so from death to the power of the devil. He knows the causality of human suffering and voluntarily gives up his life in his time on the cross. Redemption, peace, restoration, and joy. Christ is the Savior of all humanity. The Christ of God has already overcome the world. This includes all the sickness and sadness it contains. He is a Savior of humanity who visits us in our sadness and despair. He is the ascended King who brings joy to the child of God regardless of circumstances. Your Jesus, revealed to us by the God-breathed Word, promises and delivers salvation. And we ask this in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Montana District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Chaplain Derek Walter, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.